All right. Well, welcome back. You made a choice. A choice to be happy. It's more powerful a choice than you suspect in the short term. Because the unfoldment of happiness is something that you see over time coming more and more and more. Bringing more things to be happy about, more things to be grateful for. And also providing you with greater sense of self and capacity to respond appropriately to life's challenges. So that even when you are experiencing challenges, that you can maintain a great sense of knowing, an orientation, that even in the midst of tragedy, sadness, suffering, loss, pain, physical, emotional pain, that there is some rhyme or reason for it. Don't kick yourself because you've brought it upon you. Oh yes, I create my own reality, so boy, did I mess up now. No. No. There's a silver lining inside of all the tragedies and all the difficulties that come to you and all the hardships that come to you. And something, you learn something from them. No matter what. But the opportunity, even in the worst situations, is for you to remember who you are. A divine being who's only here on the planet for a while. This is not your permanent home. Your permanent home is in divine union and the bliss and the love. This temporary place. And that's why it's called an illusion, because it's so temporary. Anything you experience here will pass. It's not permanent, right? And number one, it will pass. Number two, if you remember who you are, then your response to it, instead of trying to run away from it, diminish it, discount it, pretend it doesn't exist, or beat yourself up about it, or stress yourself about it, put on burdens and pressures and all sorts of stress about it, you remember, hey, you know, I have the power of choice. This is a free will universe. I can choose right now to love myself. I can choose right now to accept my life. I can choose right now to be grateful for something. Maybe not this, yet, because I know at the other end of it, this is number three, you know, that there is a development of you, of your being, an awareness, a greater awareness. The opportunity is for a greater awareness, for stepping into your power, into your majesty, into your light, and being more than you have been before. And that on the other side of this difficulty, problem, or issue, you will find more truth, more love, more beauty, more possibility. You will expand into a greater, mature, spiritual adult. And your life will amazingly be able to smooth out regardless of what it is. Now, if it's a relatively small issue, it's a problem that's arising, don't just immediately assume it's going to be a big problem and tackle it. Most problems actually will kind of dissolve or go away by themselves if you step into your divine self, if you claim and own and be that divine reality creator self. A lot of times, if you don't give a lot of ego into situations, a lot of build it up, make it real important, real serious and real important, you won't overreact. You'll be very clear-headed. You'll kind of calmly look at a problem arising and say, that's interesting. Wow. Is the universe, it's so quirky, it just sends me this weird stuff. Now, compare that with, oh, there's a problem, oh no, this problem's about to get, if I don't take care of it right away, it's going to spiral and it's going to into this huge thing, and it could really go into a really bad thing. Oh, this could be really, really bad. Oh my gosh, what am I going to do about it? Well, I've got to be strong, and I've got to fight, and I've got to, you know, I gotta get out there and see what I can do to push it away. I gotta, or diminish it, or talk it out of my life, or get rid of it. Maybe I should run away. That's what I could do. I could just run away from society. I'm gonna be spiritual. I'm gonna go and live in a cave. I'm gonna go to an ashram and stay there. That'll be good. For those of you who are contemplating leaving the material world, quote unquote, and going and living in an ashram or in some kind of meditative retreat, you'll be surprised how many ego conflicts you'll discover there. You don't get away from these. You've got to let go. You've got to be present, right? You'll find just as many intractable, annoying, irritating, and crazy people in an ashram as you will find on the streets of the city, anywhere, right? Your reality will bring you what you need to remind yourself, hello, your divine being. Hold your presence, hold your light, keep your resonance up. Remember the choice that you made for happiness, the choice you made to be enough, the choice you made to manifest a beautiful life that you can be grateful for. Remember. Remember the gratitude. Remember the forgiveness. Remember the choice. Right? If you have a particularly difficult person, you have to spend some time with a real bear of a person. Now don't be super cautious, tiptoe around the person, try to placate the person. Don't go in there closing yourself off, shutting yourself down, putting armoring up, defense mechanisms here and there so that there's no way they could get through and mess you up. All of that is fear-based stuff. All that is powerless stuff. Thinking from the point of view of a powerless person. Thinking from the point of view, I've got to defend and protect myself because it's not safe. This person is not safe. I've got to be cautious. I can't be me. It's not safe. It's dangerous. What is that person going to do? I've got to be wary. I've got to be on guard. Otherwise, something terrible could happen. If you stay in your greater self, if you remember who you are, you won't have to put up the barricades. Why? Because when you remember who you are, the net flow of energy, we've talked about this before as your ultimate protector from negativity in life, is that you project more love and light, and that, i.e., project more energy. More vibration, you radiate more of your vibration than you absorb of others. You know, on the ethers, it's like the radio waves. On the airwaves out here, there's plenty. Wherever you are, actually, there's plenty of pain and fear and worry, doom and gloom. There's plenty. of those emotions going around in the culture. There's lots of unhappy people out there. And when you were unhappy, remember? When you were unhappy, how life didn't go so well, and you'd gripe and you'd complain, and you'd gripe and complain with other people together about how bad it was. And then you thought that was all true because others were complaining about the same thing you were complaining about. And you were fearing the same things that the others were fearing. Now you were on the same radio waves. You were on the same station. You were tuned to the same station. When you get into a happiness filled with your empowerment of self connected to the divine, you don't tune in to all these radio waves. So it's your choice what you pick up. Nothing's going to stick to you unless it vibes congruent with you. If you're not in fear, you can walk into a room filled with fearful people and you'll be okay. You won't catch it if you're radiating your truth, radiating who you are. It's like catching a cold, catching the flu from other people. You don't really catch the flu, quote unquote, from other people. You give yourself the flu because on a collective basis, there's a vibration of flu going around. So it's like, oh, you know, I have a belief that I can pick up the flu from somebody else. Here's a whole bunch of flu being presented to me. I'll just grab it because that's just my tendency. You don't have to go there anymore. You don't have, your immune system's going to be so strong. You won't fall for the anger, the fear-mongering, the worry. Now, indeed, there are major crises on your planet. And it is good for you to take action and stand up for truth and clean air, clean water, good food. It's important for you to stand up for that. But don't buy into all the fear-mongering. Because then when you stand up, you're not standing in your power. And when you're dealing with people who are quote-unquote powerful authorities like governmental people, legal system, authorities such as doctors, one of the main difficulties with people who discover that they have cancer is that the doctors scare them right there half to death. That if they don't go and have chemo and radiation and surgery and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, they're going to die. And, of course, you probably know that the results have come back to show through research that chemo and radiation and stuff like that do not extend a person's life or save them, except in rare cases. For the most part, they can actually damage a person, and the cure is worse than the disease, and so the person can just go ahead. But it's the fear-mongering that the doctors put on people to terrorize them into doing the medical regimes that are so toxic and painful. That when people buy into that and they get terrorized, their immune system doesn't have a defense. So don't you be one of them. Should you ever find yourself with a diagnosis of cancer? Oh, well, this too shall pass. You'll want to decide, do I want to exit? Is it my time? Do I want to wrap stuff up and leave? Or what? What do I really want to do? And you make a choice. You make a choice. And then you live according to the choice. So any issue, any pain that you feel, physical pain, as we said before, the masters of the East could be in so much pain, and yet you'd never know it. It's just something they're taking on themselves. It's not them. It's not because of some weakness in them. It's because of their love and their empathy they're taking it on. So if you have pain, physical pain or emotional pain, it's not you. It's not who you are. It does not define who you are. Now, to get to that level that the saints can get to, you need to apply this choice of happiness to your everyday life. And there are several, we would say, suggestions or directives of what you can do to ensure that your life becomes happier and happier with so much more to be grateful for. And it also gives you the strength and the resolve and the capacity and the power to handle the difficulties, to handle the suffering of life with aplomb, with grace. The first thing is to accept your life as it is. No complaining, bitching, moaning, railing against, oh, it should be better. My life is sucks. It's like it should be better than this. I should have like this. I should have been blah, 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 blah. All of that. Shoulda, coulda, woulda. Let it go. Accept your life is exactly perfect and correct on the soul level for who you are right now. And who you are right now is who you perceive yourself to be, the level of self-image you hold, what level of divinity you acknowledge of yourself, how much you acknowledge. By accepting also, we suggest don't waste your time and your energy resisting anything. If you resist something, it will stick to you. If you judge something, it will stick to you. Because as soon as you judge something, then whatever it is you are judging is in congruence vibrationally with yourself. Anything that you resist, you're basically giving it energy. So don't resist. Accept. That doesn't mean put up with baloney that people dump on you. Don't put up with crap. Very gently and lovingly in your power, say no. But it's not about resisting. It's not about stuffing stuff in and shutting yourself down and trying to bear through it. It's not about pushing yourself to deal with things or overacting with it. It's not about your ego. It's not about how important you are. It's not about how loved you are, how valuable you are. Your life is really just a reflection of what you're working with and learning about and becoming at this moment. Whatever level of accepting of yourself you have reached. The more you accept yourself, of course, and the more you accept your life, the less you have a need to require challenges to wake you up. Okay. And the less resistance you have, the more likely then the issues will just kind of float right through you and on back behind you. Just will float right on back. So accept. Accept. It's where you are at. You did the best you could. You're here now. Thank you. All right. Now, what's very interesting about this is that if you were take these themes, these suggestions, and line them up, they spell out a word. And the word is acceptor. A-C-C-E-P-T-O-R. So we recommend that that's one of the ways you can remember the pieces that we're talking about. So the first part is accept your life, that's the A. C. Integrate into your lifestyle, connecting to the divine within you. Connect to the divine. Now, this can be done through prayer, meditation, through visualizations, through calling upon your spirit helpers and guides, your guardian angels, higher self, calling directly to God, Goddess, all that is, or a guru or saint who is a representative of that. But to stay connected in some way every day with the divine. Make a connection. Next. Come close to someone you care about. Develop intimacy with another human being or two. Get close. Now, this doesn't have to be your soulmate, okay? It can be a friend. If you don't even have a friend, you can start with a pet. But whatever you do, start getting intimate and close. Open yourself up to intimacy. Be intimate with yourself. Come close to you. If you don't like yourself, you've been having too many judgments about yourself, it's hard to be intimate with yourself. You don't want to spend time by yourself. But those of you who have done it know that solitude and just being close with you is a beautiful experience. And allowing yourself to be vulnerable, to be yourself with someone else. Now, eventually a pet, while you can be really intimate and open, a pet is very safe. But at some point you need to find another human being, someone who actually can talk back, right? To practice being close. To not let whatever they say determine your self-image. Oh no. You do have to connect with the divine within you. We already went through that. And when you connect with the divine within you, this keeps building your sense of inner divinity. It keeps building your sense of self. But you need to have somebody who you're close to. That you can share yourself with. Not dump on. Not have somebody play the role of the ideal parent who will all be so fascinated with every little thought of yours. We're not talking about that. We're not talking about being indulged like a child ideally. We're not talking about getting close to somebody so that they can be your, you know, rah-rah cheerleader. You got hundreds of unseen friends available for that. And you can get intimate with them too, but it's really good to be intimate with a real, actual flesh and blood human being. It's good practice for you. All right. E, engage. Engage with your reality. Don't run away from it. If you go on a meditation retreat, great. But don't spend your life there. Like we said, Ashrams sometimes are the best places to get your ego really messed up, get your ego really bruised, polished down, ground down by other egos. So we just suggest engaging your life right where you are. If you want to take a break, go to India, that's great. But remember, you chose to live here. You created a life where you live right now. Engage in that life. Be curious about people. Meet people. Let yourself open up to the possibility of interacting with some really great people, because the more that you can accept your life and anticipate happiness, the more magic, the more synchronicity, the better connections of people you'll make. So anticipate that magic. Be curious about reality. It's a zoo out there. It's entertaining as hell, right? It's fascinating what people do, why they do it. Be curious. Explore. Engage. Get involved. And so those of you who are see yourselves as identity as rebel, stop that. It's not time to rebel anymore. You're the authority now. You're stepping into the light of your own divinity. There's nothing to rebel against now. You're the leader. You're on the wave, the consciousness wave. You're here fulfilling your mission. Play. Don't get so serious. Don't stay stuck working too many hours. And you know how many hours is too many hours. Difference differs for everybody. Stop focusing on work sometimes. Focus on play. Learn how to play. Learn how to just be spontaneous, explore, laugh, have fun. Look at the humor in everything. Even in some of the worst situations, you can find humor. Who was it, the doctor that was like the clown? He was with the humor, and he brought his humor to children dying of cancer. Yes, Patch Adams, yes, thank you. He found humor with the most horrible things. He could make humor about their feeding tubes and whatnot. They were part of their lives. Humor is everywhere. Look at life from a humorous point of view. As if, and this is also something you can do with individuals that are tough to deal with or difficult, is look at your relationships with them and look at your interactions with people and look at your life as being great material for your next stand-up comedy routine. How many great stand-ups have become recognized and known because they talk about the everyday things, but they look at it from the perspective of, isn't this funny? And things that you don't think is funny at all. Normally, a comedian brings it up, and you go, and you're just laughing and holding your stomach, it's so funny. Why don't you go there yourself? What's keeping you? Why do you have to be so serious? All that seriousness of life is ego training. If you really want to be free of negative ego limitations and not get stuck and held down by your ego, have humor. Humor dissolves ego. It dissolves the excess seriousness and importance of things. So practice humor. Maybe your parents never cracked a smile, but you can. Right? You need to have humor in your life. Look at the ironies of it, the craziness of life. It's such a good thing to do. The channel has a sister, and the sister and her brother-in-law every year review stories that come in through newspapers and news media, and they compile the craziest stories of the year. And they generally have like 20, 30 stories that are really crazy and bizarre, news of the weird, you name it, right? And so they print them out on little sheets and paste them up around their house, and they have a party. And they bring their friends over, and everybody reads all of them. And everybody's laughing and reading all of these crazy, crazy stories, and then they all vote for the top 10. And then when they put out their holiday card, they include the 10 craziness of life stories of the year. It's a ritualistic way, perhaps, but they have so much fun doing it. Why not? Why don't you collect the craziness of life stories? You have some from your own life, all right? Look at your life that way, and it'll be a lot easier, a lot more fun. You'll play more often, and you'll laugh more often. This is a recipe for greater happiness. T. Trust the divine plan. The divine plan is set up so that you will return home to divine union. It's set up that way. You cannot not go there. The choices that you make can delay going there, or it can accelerate going there. And the idea is for you to get to that place during your lifetime where you no longer need to incarnate. You've got it. You've seen everything now. You got all you want. There's enough. And you have contributed. So trust the divine plan that your life is here in your own best interest. It's beneficial to you. No matter what, it turns out it's beneficial. So when you trust the divine plan, you know that things are going to work out good. They're going to work out okay. Maybe better than okay. They're going to work out really great. Everything will turn out great. Practice that every day, intending that, choosing that. Everything's going to turn out really great. And when a problem comes up, you say, I know everything's going to turn out great. So let me look. When you have that attitude, you will think of creative solutions and resolutions. If you think it's going to be a big problem, are you going to find the creative solutions? No. You're going to have to fight a whole bunch first and go through Sturm und Drang and craziness and whatever. And once you're exhausted, then maybe you think about it. But why not right away? Avoid the loop, the struggle loop. Okay? When the problem comes up, trust the divine plan. It's all going to turn out okay. If you don't think it's going to turn out okay, if you're excessively worried about your life and all you can see is the dark, fearful side of it, then your life will have to go through a dark, fearful place. It will have to go through a phase in which all the things that you have feared and worried about kind of come true for you. There really is no hell. Even though it was used so strategically to keep people going to church. But there really is no hell. Hell is you buying in to your own fear and negative projections. Because then you bring hell on earth. It's just terrible. And what, there comes a day when you feel like, I've got enough. I've had enough. There's got to be something else. And you begin to think that there's something else. And you begin to look for something else. And then you start coming out of it. So avoid the pits. Trust the divine plan. Start right off expecting, assuming it's all going to turn out okay. In your favor, there's a benefit to it. Own who you are every day. Maybe this is a good way to start the day. Just own your divinity. I am a divine being. I've chosen to come to earth plane for a mission or two. My personal mission to see how I, as a divine reality creator, can create and manifest and put together a really fun life that has meaning and a sense of purpose and a fulfillment for myself. And then I could also, as another mission, I could have a global mission. I could really do something to help the planet. If anything, I could meditate for the planet. I could envision for the planet. I can be a mouse warrior, i.e. you can click on petitions, send letters to your congresspeople, engage in the political process. Listen, the political process doesn't have to be a negative thing. A lot of people like to avoid it. I'm a spiritual person. I don't get involved in politics. Well, too bad. You're a human being. You're already in there. You already are in politics. You find it in your personal life. All those egos we're talking about that you rub up against, all that ego grinding and polishing, that's politics. All that stuff in high school, you know, with the cliques, the in-group, the popular ones, the unpopular ones, the rebels, the goths, the crazy ones, all whatever. The ones who didn't belong, the ones who didn't fit, the ones who did. All of that's politics. So you've been in politics since you can remember. There's politics in your birth family. Were you the favorite? Or was a sib the favorite? Politics, okay? You are in politics because you're human. It's part of what you chose to work with. So without buying into all the fear, the rage, and all that crazy stuff and powerlessness that goes along with the consensus or mainstream version of politics, engage in politics as a divine being you are. You don't have to fall for all the rage and the anger and the fear and all the fighting. But stand up and let your perspective be known. Let your preference be known. Own who you are. Own, live by your own credo. Live by your preferences. Be who you are. You're just perfect the way you are, truly, who your real self is. You want to find more of that. You want to express more of that. Own yourself. Own who you are. Remind yourself every day if you can. And finally, R, relax. Have some time. Take some time every day for downtime, your downtime. Now, we're not talking excessive amounts. And we're not talking like a 5-minute meditation either. Take enough. Because in your downtime, when you are with yourself, in the quiet of your own consciousness, you integrate what you have learned. You can reflect on things. You can think about who you are. You can feel things. You can intend things and create things. You can make choices. You can process out old stuff. You can do forgiveness and gratitude and choice with anything. Not just happiness. You can do it with whatever is up for you. And then you could also just simply do nothing. Can you do that? Do you have any clue how to do nothing? Have you ever given yourself permission to do nothing? Some of you have done nothing but felt guilty about it. Don't feel guilty. Guilt is a limitation. Guilt is a judgment. Guilt is a little box that will just attract more times that you will tread over some line and feel guilty. So let go of all the guilt. It is all artificial stuff. There is a true guilt, but it's a spiritual one. The spiritual guilt is that you've wandered off the path and are not returning home because you got lost in the world. You can let that one go too. By loving and forgiving yourself again. Being grateful for the opportunity that you have right now to make choice. But you can also do nothing. Can you give yourself complete permission just to sit in a chair and look out the window and think about whatever? Can you give yourself permission to take a nap during the day, even if you're not tired? You don't have to rationalize it. You just choose it. Relax. Get rid of the stress. When you're in the present, you're safe. As soon as you start thinking about the future, you can start feeling unsafe again. So relax. Take it easy for a little while and just let yourself feel and think and get in touch with your soul. One of the ways you can get in touch with your soul, because the soul is a deep emotional energy. It's down deep in there. You can sometimes feel your soul in a way when something significant in your life happens. You'll feel almost like something way down deep shifts. That's your soul moving. Your soul got wounded. But your soul has the key to who you are. The soul is your particular portal of access to the divine. To connect with your soul is to connect with your gut level knowing. Have you ever had a real hunch? That comes from soul. Your intuition comes from soul. Your passion, something that passionately moves you, comes from soul. Only when you relax and get off the treadmill and get out of the workaholic loop, get out of the doing, doing, doing loop and be, can you discover that? Can you feel that and listen to the small, still voice of soul? It's very powerful. It's moving. And when you hear it and feel it, you know. There's a certainty. You know. The more you rely on that, the more you trust on that, the more it will develop into something really profound. Now, some people can get good information from a pendulum or muscle testing. But pendulums and muscle testing are both influenced by ego. So you have to be really clear and get your ego out of the way to be able to get those messages. Only when you relax and you listen to soul can you really get those messages. Now, soul doesn't always say yes to things. A pendulum will, a muscle testing will. But soul will definitely tell you no. It will definitely warn you when it's appropriate. And it's not doing that just to scare you, and just like nothing that happens in your life is there, put there by God to test you and punish you. It's all there for a beneficial end. Your happiness, your joy, your conscious awareness, your celebration of the divine. Acceptor, the one who accepts life. And when you accept it, you receive it. You fully receive life. This means you receive healing. That means you can receive your manifestations that you desire. This means that you can receive magic and miracles, that you can allow enchantment into your life again. The magic and the mystery of life. In love with life, happy, you'll live a long time. All right, at this point, we would like to open it up to questions. And the questions would be about anything we've talked about the topic of happiness. So raise your hand, and you're already doing that. And Daniel will hand you a microphone. And
I would like to ask what to do about the people that are close to you who, without necessarily wanting to, hold you in limitation, remembering periods of your life that were difficult, unhappy, where you were not apparently to them doing the best you could.
Mm-hmm.
And when you want to, you know, live in the now, and yet you have people who are constantly reminding you, well, you know, you did this or you did that, or throwing you back into the past. What do you suggest for something like this?
Well, first of all, from the perspective of understanding your divine plan, you know that what these people are doing, according to your plan, okay, is to try to trigger in you an awareness of what you have been, as if they're putting pressure on you to be that, out of feelings of insecurity on their part, okay? And so if you notice that by their doing this, this has made you inside yourself. Maybe you haven't felt that you knew how to respond externally, but inside yourself, more resolute to be who you are, right?
Yes.
Yes, true. Absolutely. So in a sense, they are goads for your spiritual path, okay? So they are functioning in that regard. Now, the thing is that the first thing we would suggest is that you need to have compassion for them. Because there was a time in your past, perhaps, where you did something similar. You wanted somebody to be a certain way. You wanted somebody to be predictable because you thought that that would make it safe. for you. Okay? So people who want you to be the person you used to be and to fix your past and become better than your past. What they're thinking, what their reason for doing that, really, is that they think that by pushing you, this is old school thinking, that the harder you push yourself and try harder, the more likely maybe you will succeed. And what they want you to succeed at is not really being yourself. They want you to succeed at fulfilling a plan or an idea they have of you that would take them off the hook. Because right now, we would say that the most common people who do that are parents. Right?
And children.
And children now have picked up this whole thing. I want my parent, my mother, I want her to be the ideal mother. I want her to be ideal. I want her to fit my idea of the ideal mother. Now, if you go and look at a child's perspective of what the ideal mother is, it's a total serving, unconditionally accepting, cheerleading function. Okay? It's like, I will do anything for you. I will serve you. I will give you everything you want. I will make you proud of me because I will be the most, you know, loving. I'll be the most whatever it is. Every child has an idea of what the ideal parent could be because, heck, nobody's ideal, right? So, and every child feels a conflict between what is and what their fantasy is that would happen that would make them feel safe. So, whether it's parents or children, okay, if they want you to be a certain way, it's because they want to feel safe. If they feel safe that you're a certain way, then you're not going to be too edgy and they're not going to have to grow. Most people find growing up rather difficult. I mean, did you find growing up easy for you? No. Growing up is a tricky business, right? And a lot of people just don't want to grow up. Okay? Now, it's fine to act and be a child at times. But we're not talking about the powerlessness of the child. We're talking about the freedom of the child in its highest state. As an adult, you can pick up child energy without being childish and immature and irresponsible. So, essentially, what your parents and children want is for you to be responsible for their reality so they don't have to change or grow or be exposed to anything too outside the box. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, yes. Okay. I was just thinking that until the day she died not long ago, I tried very, very hard to fix the relationship with my mother, and it was just pretty much not really fixable, and that
right.
You know, that gives me a certain amount of pain and regret, even though I tried really hard.
Okay. Well, what's really wonderful about this is that through forgiveness, through a process of forgiveness, you can connect with her and clear it all up. Because on the other side, she sees everything the way it is, really. But when she was still in body, she had her agenda. And she could not express her feelings, really. She was angry. Okay? Because she couldn't be who she wanted to be. Do you understand?
Yes.
Okay? And so she wanted you to compensate for her inability to be who she wanted to be. So she wanted you to be the person she had wanted to be. And that would have assuaged, she thought, would have redeemed her in some way. It doesn't work that way. But once you got on the other side, and this is what happens, once you get on the other side and you look back, you go, oh, Oh, I see. I didn't express myself. I didn't do what I needed. And so instead, I was holding my daughter back. You see? Now, we would suggest that you work with someone. Daniel does this all the time. You can work with him to connect on an energetic level in meditation to clean up the relationship with your mother and be complete and done in peace and love. And she'll be happy about that on the other side too. Because then once you're free to be yourself, then your light starts to really shine and glow. She came to be that goad to you. And she kept pushing you and pushing you and pushing you until you, there will be a point where you will get out of guilt forever. Okay? No more regret. You can't regret anything. So what you want to do is be able to forgive that, to step into the gratitude for this healing, and to make new choices for yourself, and to feel really good about it. Feel good about you being you. That's what you're really here for. Okay? So we would recommend that you do a session and deal with that, okay?
Yeah, thank you very much.
All right, now, with your children, same thing. They don't have to be dead. You can do it in meditation while they're still alive and free yourself from their assumptions, expectations, burdens, and projections on you as to who you should be. It's not up to them to tell you that either. Nobody should be telling you who you should be. The only reason that you have attracted people who are telling you who you should be or expecting who you should be or pushing you to be who you they think you should be is because you haven't been in your power about it. And so the reality is going to keep pushing you till you step in your power and say, I'm going to be me. I'm sorry. I can't really be this ideal person for you. This is who I am. I'm going to love you, but I'm going to also love myself. Thank you very much. And you also may find that to be a helpful session too. Okay?
Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
Okay, you're certainly welcome. That way you can, when you're yourself, you are in bliss. You are happy. When you're doing something that just you just love, you are a happy person. All right? So it's important and imperative that you do that because you will also then set that example for the future when and if your children decide that they want to grow. They will have an example. They will have an opportunity. You will present it to them. Not by you going to them and saying, hey, you know, you need to change. Of course you're not going to do that. You don't like that being done to you. So what you do is you just live your life and you're in happiness and you're in joy. And at some point, they're just going to have to get used to that. Okay? They just have to, well, my mother's happy. She's such a crazy person, but she's happy. Well, okay. Maybe. They'll get used to it eventually. It'll be okay. Eventually, it'll work really great because eventually your relationship with them will heal and they'll kind of, in a sense, come back to you as adults in a really good place. But you have to really hold the resonance for that to happen, okay? All right. Who's next?
Hi, Alexis. It's Joe.
Hello. Mm-hmm.
So that first meditation was very powerful for me. I felt like there was lots of shifts took place. And then when we broke and I was getting food at Whole Foods at the checkout line when I related with the cashier lady, it was very different, very strange. It was like I felt like I was kind of like wavering in and out in a sense and like I didn't know how to connect with her.
Mm-hmm.
And my guess is that I didn't have the past there that I normally would have had to subconsciously push forward and kind of have a woe me story or whatever in my space to be able to relate through.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering if you could give us some information as far as how we can make these kind of shifts and go into our world. And in fact, now that I think about it, even I'm not sure what it would look like to be in this new space of going around and meeting people and not having a past.
That's right, because most of the time when you meet somebody and you sit down and you want to get to know this person, what do? You share your history.
Right.
Right? What if you shared your dreams instead?
That's fun.
Your dreams are actually more intimate with you than your history. They're more who you really are than your history. They're closer to who you are, right? Or your dreams, your future. Or you could say things like, you know, I came from such and such and so, and here I am, and here's, I'm going to be doing blah, blah, blah. You can shift it right away. And if a person wants to talk excessively about their past, yeah, you can hear that, but if you get really into a person and they go blah, blah, blah about their past, okay, after a while you will feel a sense of heaviness inside you. It's like, oh, this is all the stuff they went through. Ugh, thank goodness I didn't have to go through all of that. Ugh, you know, but what you want to do is have compassion for them. And this is the way you deal with the cashier, for example, okay, is that if you can have an idea of what having compassion for people is, then that, in a sense, puts you into a state of being a radiant light being. Who has compassion for others? It's only those who are able to look, not condescendingly, but to be able to look down upon. It's like when you look upon a beloved pet. Or you see your child and doing something really precious. You're just flooded with love. Or if you see your child hurt or your pet hurt, you have compassion, okay? And there's this kind of love and appreciation for this unique being. So when you go through the checkout line, here's your checkout cashier, and you can say, hey, great day. Hope you're having a great day. And you just send love and light to this person. Because you know that person's got struggles and stuff too, you know?
Uh-huh.
Right? You know, everybody's got challenges. What's life without them? If life was the same every day, you'd be so bored you'd die. Really, you'd say, enough. Enough! Enough! Help me out of here. You know, so it's one of the reasons that they have prisons, is to bore the people. Solitary, it's boredom, it's about boredom. This is your punishment, is that everything's going to stay the same, right? So recognize that everybody's going through expansion, everybody's going through growing. Have compassion for that process. And you know, the cashier, well, this is a job, this is not the goal of this person, is to be a cashier for the rest of his or her life, right?
Right.
This is just a stage. This is just a phase they're going through to go on to find something more, to find something greater. Okay? So have compassion for them on their journey.
Uh-huh.
You can feel it that way, can't you? Can't
yeah.
you just feel
yeah.
compassion? Everybody's on their journey. Okay?
Yeah.
Everybody on the planet is on their journey. Nobody's made it yet. Unless you really know a truly realized divine being who is manifesting that, which is the rare guru, the rare saint, the rare spiritual teacher. Okay? So have compassion. When you have compassion, things go very smoothly. People feel your love. They feel your caring. And you don't have to have any sad story. You don't have to have any past. You feel compassion for people, but you can, if a person talks too long about their past, what is that to you? Nothing. You're in the present. This person here you'd like to know is someone you'd like to know towards the future. You're attracted to a person, you want to know that person in the future. You don't want to know their past, right? So bring them back. Say, and what do you plan to do? What are you after doing? What's your favorite thing to do? You can ask them those kinds of questions. That will get you to close to the person. Okay?
Yeah.
All right?
Yes, thank you.
Just stay future, a little bit more future oriented, okay?
I like that.
All right.
I'm about to leave my work. And I have a lot of forgiveness to do still.
Yes.
And And then when you're talking about forgiveness, and then I am also in the process of dealing with workers' comp issues, and that happened from the employer's negligence or intentional negligence, and I'm not sure if, you know, if I'm to just forget and just forgive, should I just let that go as well? Although I know I still have the injury and it's not healed.
Mm-hmm. All right. And so, as you're saying about the workers' compensation, mm-hmm. is that something that would end?
It will end once it's properly treated, but it's probably going to take a while.
Okay, but the funds, well, the funds.
Oh.
Is he withholding, your boss is withholding funds or what?
No, they asked me, so what, they asked me not to file the workers' comp first, and then after my doctor told me that I might have to have a surgery, then they told me to file it, and then I was eventually denied, and it's past a couple of years, and it still hurts, and I'm getting concerned that it might be actually permanently damaged, and I want to go back to get properly treated, and so,
mm-hmm.
and then that would involve a little, you know, hiring an attorney and perhaps filing another workers' comp, and
can you imagine yourself? Mm-hmm. Doing all of this filing and finding mm-hmm. the lawyer and doing all that kind of stuff. Can you imagine being a divine light being and doing that?
I could.
All right. Because if you can do that,
mm.
it's much more opportunity for it to turn out in your favor.
Mm.
Okay? If you come in and you go, oh my gosh, this could be just a really problem. I've been denied already once. And so on. Well, a lot of times, you know, you apply, they deny.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lot of times they've revealed, some of the people who are these bureaucrats that have to deal with this,
mm-hmm.
that they reveal that they routinely deny.
Mm-hmm.
You have to keep filing.
Yeah.
That's just one of the things. You got to keep filing and keep filing. So you've got to keep filing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So in a sense, you're saying, well, you know, it would be appropriate for me.
Mm.
It's not like you're entitled to it per se. In a way, you are, but you don't want to go to an ego place. You want to go to a spiritual place where you say, you know, I care and love about, I love myself. I
mm-hmm.
care about me.
Mm-hmm.
I want me to be healthy. I want me to feel good. It's very important for me to feel good. I have a life ahead of me. I don't want to be going through the life limping and in pain and
mm-hmm.
in suffering if I can help it. All right. So I'm going to do this for me. I'm going to do this from a place of empowerment. I'm going to have compassion for everybody else in the system as well as for myself.
Mm.
I can hold a high resonance. I'm not going to be playing the whole thing like punishment and anger.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm not going to be like that. It's going to be like this is appropriate for me.
So it's a shift of consciousness because
yes.
I do feel guilt because I think I'm angry.
Yes, you are angry,
like,
and you're not allowing yourself to feel the anger,
mm.
right? You're a good girl.
Mm-hmm.
You're such a good girl. No anger allowed for you. No, 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 no. It's everything's your fault, too,
mm-hmm.
right? So so to get out of the good girl training,
mm.
we suggest you need to practice anger release.
Definitely.
And it's very hard
yeah.
to do
yeah.
because you have so many inhibitions,
yes.
so many rules and laws and restraints and shutdowns and glaring heavy duty authoritarian voices on you.
Definitely.
Right?
Yes.
So you have to enable to do that. You have to practice it until you can get to the place where you can really feel your anger
mm-hmm.
and do an anger process. And what's so wonderful about anger release is that if you do appropriately, then you forgive afterwards. So you forgive all these people that, you know, your boss and all the bureaucrats who wrote no, denied, You can go and forgive everybody.
Yes.
But you have to get the anger out first. Otherwise, you're still being too timid. You're still not in your power.
Right. Do you have any recommendations for anger release?
Well, we did a love and healing session on releasing anger.
Mm.
And we would recommend that you would obtain that.
Yes.
It's relatively inexpensive, and it tells you about how to do it. And then the technique is there and takes you through it.
Sure.
Right? And then the forgiveness on the end.
Mm.
Okay? So you clean up that energy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Thank you.
Because you need to stay at a high resonance here.
Yes.
And it will, if you stay at a high resonance, even though it may be a long process, mm-hmm. even though whatever, it will come out the way you need it to come out.
Yes.
The way your soul needs it anyway.
Right.
Trust in the divine plan here.
Yes.
Okay?
Thank you.
Who's next?
Just speak into it. Okay, fine. Thought I had to press a button. Hello, Galexis. This is Olivia.
Hello.
Thank you so much for this wonderful program.
You're certainly welcome.
It came just at the right time for me. I was wondering if you could speak to maybe some techniques or some additional comments about how to hold the resonance when you're involved, engaging with people, engaging in life and living your life. And sometimes something will happen and it's not always easy to hold the resonance. And so the resonance. And so I was just wondering if you might have a few words about that.
All right. Well, basically the reason we talked about acceptor with mm-hmm. all those particular things mm-hmm. is because if you were to go down through that every day,
okay.
you'd be
sure.
in resonance. And once you do that a few times, what will happen is that stressful situations will come and so on. You'll find yourself starting to get swept up into them, engaged in them, and you'll still feel like your energy is just going, starting to go flat, and you're not really seeing reality
yes.
through the filter of the divine light being anymore. You're like, look, oh my gosh, I'm so tired. I don't feel like I'm very powerful. Oh gosh, how am I going to deal with this?
Yeah.
And so that would be the ideal time for you to go through the acceptor list. Okay.
Okay.
And what will happen is after you do it a few times, you'll be able to do it almost instantly. Not at first.
Sure.
You can't just say, wait a minute. You know, I'm losing my resonance. I'm draining. I've got to get myself back. Snap. Okay, I'm back. You know, you really can't do that. Okay. At first.
Yes,
however,
of course.
There will come a point where you have lived enough in your resonance as the beautiful and powerful light being that you are, with compassion for others and in your, you know, and in engaging and flowing and playing and living and loving and relaxing and all that kind of stuff, that you'll know the essential energies of all of those things. And you can say, well, I'm losing my resonance. Am I losing my power? Am I forgetting who I am? Or, you know, and all of a sudden it'll be very clear which piece you're missing. And
yes.
you're just like, oh, okay, I claim it. And as soon as you get it, the vibration of it, the feeling of it will come back into you. If you're tired physically, though, it's a little harder to do. Okay,
sure.
So it's really important for you to pace yourself correctly so that you don't overwhelm yourself and overtire yourself. And if you're in a very stressful and tiring type of situation that you are in committed to or contracted to be in, and you can't get out of it too well, then what we would suggest is at the very least to give yourself a longer sleep, okay, and give yourself and then really take off on a, like on a weekend or something, to really take a day and just really do nothing.
Yes.
Okay, and just really get yourself rested. Resting is so important, most people forget, but it's something that is a very self-loving act to do, and something that a very powerful, radiant, light being would do. Is like, I prioritize that I feel good. I prioritize that I have enough rest, that I'm alert, that I'm awake, I'm aware, I'm, you know, I've had enough to eat, I've had enough to drink, I've had enough sleep. That's kind of important, that maintenance of your body. So what you'll find is that it may at first be quite an effort to set aside time. Because
days like that.
Absolutely, because very often our external circumstances, when you get engaged with them, at least in the earlier phases, let's say of work and things like that, that they can be, it's kind of like the external influences are driving your life. You are not. You kind of lose being in the driver's seat. It's kind of like, this is what you've got to do. Oh, and here's something else you've got to do. Oh, and here's something else you've got to do. Oh, okay. And so you have to keep mobilizing yourself and motivating yourself to do all these things.
Exactly.
But at some point, you're going to get it. And at some point, you're going to have it integrated in you.
Yeah.
And the more that you give some time to rest, the faster it integrates and the sooner you get it. Okay?
Sure. Okay.
So you already knew all of this. But we just had to emphasize it a little bit, okay?
Okay.
Because there's going to come a time in the future where you're going to say, I'm not really physically tired, but I'm really tired of putting my focus on this particular thing. And so what I'm going to do is I'm just going to take 15 minutes off right now, and I'm going to take a power break. What do they call it? A power break or a power nap or whatever. and just walk out of the office or go to the bathroom. Is who keeps you from going to the bathroom, right? So you just go to the bathroom and you get onto a toilet and you just sit there and you go, ah. Bathrooms are such great meditation places. Because people come in and come go and they don't bother you at all. Your stall's closed. You just stay in there and just don't get yanked. Your attention will get yanked if you're not careful. Just kind of learn how to just be present and at peace. Do a little breathing, relax, think about some things. Think about something other than that, what it is that you're tired of thinking about. Okay? Just give yourself a little mind state break. And then in about 15, 20 minutes, oh, okay, I feel better. Go back. You're ready. And you'll find that if you can do this here and there, it's good enough. And you'll find yourself able to really keep up and get and keep into the flow. And eventually you're going to get into a flow that is going to have an elegance about it. You're going to be able to achieve so much and accomplish so much more in the same amount of time. As long as you hold your resonance, which you are aware of, it's just going to work up to that place. And then it's going to be just, you're going to be in the flow. And what's so wonderful about that is that all of a sudden it makes it all so easy. Because until you get to that point, you could be resisting stuff and not even be aware of it. Or you could find yourself having to learn too much stuff too soon or having to mobilize your motivation when your motivational energy is kind of kaput. So you have to get the slave driver in there to motivate you. Try not to motivate yourself by guilt or fear. That's generally what erodes people in work situations, for example. Because if you're saying, oh, gosh, oh, there's more to do. There's so much, so much more to do. Dear ones, there's always so much more to do. Really. You know, but you can give yourself empty space in your schedule. You can give yourself time. But the thing is that until you learn how to manage your time in a new situation, you do have to just give yourself these little breaks until you kind of get the momentum. Once you get the momentum, it goes into flow and it just happens bump, 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 bump. And then you get to massage the flow. Now, there's an art to the flow. There's an art to getting the flow activated, to getting the flow moving. And this flow is, you're always in a flow. Every one of you is in a flow. Okay? Some of you have flows that are very jerky. Some of you have flows that are very slow and deliberate. Others have flows that just flow along and then pause for a while, then flow along and then pause for a while. There's nobody that has a flow that stays steady. Okay? But there will be feelings at times that the flow is, in a sense, steady and you're in the zone. Where everything is just moving forward in a sense of effortlessness and everything is falling into place. This is the divine plan, the way it shows up in daily manifestation. Everything falls into place. Everything moves with a certain elegance and grace. Okay? Mm-hmm. So, once you get to that, then all you have to do is ooch the flow. Now, the flow is so important, and being able to manage your own flows, your unique flows, and your divine flows, which is the expression of your divine plan in action, in the physical, that's a big section that we're including in the Money Magic seminar that we are going to be doing. It's a really big one, because people can get to a certain sense, a certain level, and they get stuck at a certain level, and then they need to kind of leverage up to another level. So once you get at a first level in a flow, then as you expand your self-image, as you expand your resonance, you'll find the ways to move it up to another level of flow in your work. Okay?
Okay.
All right.
Very helpful. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're certainly welcome.